All right, welcome to the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here, just leaving Geelong with Sonia DiOrio, comedy legend. How are you, Sonia?
Hey, good, thanks.
And we've just done the Diggers Arms? Yes, Diggers Arms Hotel.
Gold Diggers Arms.
Which is on the one hill in Geelong. We're one of the few hills in Geelong. This is kind of the... My wife's from Geelong, so I know this is kind of one of the posher kind of areas.
Ah.
But it was a great night.
Yeah, the crowd wasn't too posh.
They were posh, no? And they were older, though.
They were older.
Which was good for me.
Yeah.
You were probably...
When I walked in there...
You just went, oh, wow, it's like mum and dad's.
A sea of grey hair. Not even grand. Most of them would have been older than my mum.
How old's your mum?
She's 58.
Oh, yeah, I'm 54.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But it was still fine.
Oh, you'd be like their daughter. Oh, she's nice, this girl. She's funny.
Yeah, you know? And then I start talking about cum. And they're hang on. I don't know if that's like my daughter.
Anyway, we're driving home. Now, I'm trying to remember. I always try to remember where I first met people on this podcast. I would have met you at one of Carl Chandler's rooms, I reckon.
Yep.
Would have been.
Probably.
I don't reckon it was Spleen. No, I don't remember.
I don't know.
It was a while. How long have you been doing comedy?
Maybe 10 years.
Oh, okay. So you're sort of that generation.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I would have met you back in the...
I don't know that I met you, like, early on, because I didn't really meet... Like, so my first year of comedy, I probably did, like, 10 gigs or something like
that.
Right. So first couple of years, I wasn't really meeting people.
Why did you do... Well, and you're from Gippsland.
From Gippsland, yeah.
Morwell? Did you say Morwell?
Morwell, yeah.
Morwell.
Yeah.
Morwell, the... For people don't know, that's the industrial hub.
Yes.
And they're having a rough time. In the valley. It's in the valley.
They're having a real rough time.
Because, of course, in the 70s and that, was it booming when you grew up there? Or was it sort of on the hour?
Yeah, no, I think it was... Yeah, it was booming. It was booming. And according to my dad, it was the best town
in
Australia.
Yeah. They always say that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we used to go on school excursions to the power plant. I remember going on school excursion.
Yeah. He worked there. I mean, everyone worked there, basically.
Why
it was booming. But it's interesting because my parents moved to Traralgon, just next door.
When you go to Morwell, you hang shit on Traralgon and vice versa.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's hard because Traralgon's like kind of a booming city now, town. And Morwell's just gone downhill, but they're just like right beside each other.
Yeah, but then there's Moe, which is even probably suffering even more, do you reckon?
No, I think Moe's
doing all right.
Better than Morwell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. People just know Moe as a punchline.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
if you actually go around the valley, yeah, I don't know what happened to Morwell, but...
My mum's nana, Hazel, she grew up in Whyalla. She was from her mum was in Whyalla.
Yeah.
Whyalla, you know, up past Moe, and it's that really up in the bush right up there.
No,
is there like a railway line?
No, I'm always learning of new towns.
It was a mining town.
Right.
And they named an oval after my great granddad, Dunstan Oval, up in Whyalla. And it's so steep up there, they used to bury people vertically.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's real redneck. It used to be real redneck territory.
Right.
And now it's a bit of a tourist place. They've got like a steam train and stuff up there.
Whyalla, come see the dead rednecks.
Yeah, get the rednecks. But yeah, it is an interesting part of the world.
Yes.
Down there. I've done a lot of gigs down there.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I did this gig in Gormandale. Do you know Gormandale?
Yes. Yeah. Tiny town.
Yeah, and so I did their footy club lunchtime.
Oh my God.
And there was a guy called Rambo who kept yelling, like really weird... sort of 1970s heckling. Like he called me a poofter. He kept saying, "You're a poofter."
Oh my God.
I'm like, "What? You're a poofter." I'm like, "Well, I'm married with three, because I've got to bring my wife now and tell her I'm homosexual, mate."
Yeah.
Anyone's laughing. And then he got it, and I thought, oh, there's something wrong. He got up to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And I said to the crowd, there's only about 40 people there, "Is Rambo okay? Was there an accident on a farm?" Because I was getting
something
the vibes.
Happened. Yeah.
And they're like, no, he's fine. He comes back, he starts up again. And so I really start hammering him. Then afterwards, some guy comes up and goes, "Yeah, he did have an accident."
Oh, no.
But then I went back to Traralgon, I reckon, about a month later, and I was doing a gig, and there was a bit of a quiet, and someone yelled out, "Where's your mate Rambo?"
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So You're a bit of a
Valley regular.
Yeah, Valley legend. I've done one gig in Morwell, in my hometown.
Yeah, that's always stressful.
Yeah, it was, because my dad was there.
Yeah.
It was at a soccer club. Oh. And they kind of like, they knew that I did comedy. So they're like, oh, hey,
you got your daughter.
Yeah, we want to put
a night
together. So I booked a lineup, and they're like, oh, we want to have a comedy competition as part of the night, like for the audience to do comedy. And they're like, oh, maybe like halfway through the night.
No,
this is what we're going to do. We're going to have the comedy show, and then afterwards, if people want to get up and do a comedy competition, you can do that, and we can like judge. And it was honestly so funny. It was like basically just a whole bunch of old men getting up.
Being racist.
Ramble on. Yeah. Well, they weren't necessarily racist. Sometimes they were sexist.
Yeah,
or homophobic.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, they'd ramble on for like 5 minutes and then just say one like racist or homophobic thing at the end. It was wild.
How many people entered?
Four? It felt like 50.
Wow.
But there might have been about 8 or 9.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And my dad, at halftime, he's like, oh, I'm thinking about...
Dad,
do not. I was like so firm with him. Like I was telling him off. Do not get up there.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God.
But yeah, that's the only time I've performed in Morwell.
I grew up in Mitcham in the outer suburbs of Melbourne. Yep. I did the Mitcham Hotel early on in my career. And they do comedy. They're doing comedy back there now.
Recently.
David Rowe, young David Rowe, was it? And Dave Grant, who's passed away now, was a big comic back then, my generation. And he goes, okay, mate, you're on first. And remember, you don't want to die in front of your parents here. So I didn't, which was good. But I felt very self-conscious. Because I was like in my 20s. There were people from high school there.
Yeah.
I'd left Mitcham, like you. I'd left. And so the people sort of hold a bit against you. Like, why aren't you living around you anymore?
Yeah. Too good for us.
I bought a house in Ringwood. Why aren't you out with us? Oh, I moved to the inner city. What? Because I don't know, at your school, but in my school, there were the people who left and the people who stayed.
Yeah. Because like the valley, well, where we're from is about 2 hours. From Melbourne. There's people who left Melbourne / other cities overseas and stuff, and then people who stayed. And
did they gravitate to one uni, or did they go to Monash maybe, or somewhere close? People from the valley?
Oh, there's a Monash uni there in Churchill.
I've done a gig in Churchill.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They used to have good gigs there, actually.
Yeah, I didn't go to that uni, but I went to gigs. Like, I went to watch Machine Gun Flay show there.
Yeah, they had
like
good bands and stuff.
Yeah, it was great.
I've been doing it several times in the 90s, but they've stopped a lot of those gigs now.
Comedy gigs there?
Yeah, we did comedy gigs there.
Yeah.
Me and... Oh, I can't remember who did it. But in a round kind of room.
Yeah.
They were great back then, those gigs. So what did you study at uni?
At uni I did arts and health sciences.
Classic.
I went to La Trobe.
La Trobe, yeah. I do jokes about La Trobe. Yeah. I didn't even go there.
No.
My twin brother went there.
Yeah.
But, and then why did you get into comedy?
Oh, fuck, I don't know. I've made a big mistake. I was a bit of a comedy fan, like growing up, like, even when I lived in Gippsland, my sister and I would come up for a week during the comedy festival.
Oh, wow.
And at the Vic Hotel.
Oh, wow.
And like go and watch shows.
Yeah, how basic's the Vic Hotel? My mother-in-law was staying there the other day. They've improved a bit, but I'm like, geez, Betty, I don't know.
That's why we stayed there, because it was like the cheapest place.
It's a country people's hotel in Melbourne,
But also because it's like smack bang in the center of the comedy festival.
If you wanted to meet a comedian and bring them back to your hotel, you're right there. But who'd want to meet a comedian, let's be honest?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember what acts you really liked that you saw and went, oh, that's good?
Yeah, Tom Gleason. Tripod. We loved Tripod.
Yeah, so good.
Who else?
Tripod were like rock stars, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
They were big.
They were. There's probably other people. There'd be people who I saw and I can't remember.
You can't remember their names.
Yeah, because it was quite a long time ago now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just loved it.
And oh, cool. So did you get the program and circle the shows? Yeah, fight with your sister? Yeah, I want to go to that show.
Yeah. But I didn't think of doing comedy at that stage. Like, I didn't realize that I wanted to do it. No. But I grew up, like, doing, like, really loving drama and performing and that sort of thing. And then so when I started uni, it was something I really wanted to do. Did it a year or two into uni.
Oh, wow.
Started. Yeah, right. Did raw comedy as my first
thing. Oh, they would have had a Heat of La Trobe, don't they?
Or... No, it was at, it was just the regular one.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so bad.
Bad?
So bad. Yeah, like my set.
Yeah, right. Well, it can be.
So embarrassing. It was the first ever time I'm doing comedy.
Yeah, that's, and there's guys that have been doing it for 2 or 3 years get up there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Or people who are new and are just better.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just talented.
Like Hannah Gatsby gets up and you're like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, she's, yeah.
And goes and wins.
Yeah.
Raw.
But I just did like a story that was not funny. And I was like the people in fucking Morwell.
hey, you would have won that competition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you and then, but you kept going though after that.
I kept going, yeah. Oh, even though it was bad, and I knew it was bad.
Was your sister there?
Thing.
Supporting
yes,
you?
She was. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. My twin brother was at my first gig.
I think about that, so embarrassing.
And I told him not to come, but he booked a table for his friends, so that's good.
It's this weird thing of where you start and like people really want to see you.
Yeah, that lasts about 3 months.
The worst time for people to see you.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true.
You should never invite anyone until like you've been doing comedy for at
5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's when you still got friends. They want to come.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be great.
And then they see you do so badly and they don't
like,
want to come.
And then that's like seeing someone in a bad play and you're like, you were good. I thought you were good.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You were good.
Yeah.
It is hard to know what to say to people.
Yeah, that's before all your friends are just comedians.
Yeah. So do you hang out with a lot of comedians now?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, actually, yeah. I have a lot of normal friends as
that's
well.
Good. That's good.
Regular folk too.
I don't. What happens as you get older, you lose a lot of your normal friends.
Yeah.
And you just start hanging out with other comedians.
Yeah.
And then when your kids start school, you start hanging out with some of the parents.
Parents, yeah.
You don't necessarily have anything in common with these people.
Yeah.
Like, you go to their house and they're playing Michael Bublé and they're not taking the piss.
Unironically.
What are these people doing?
Yeah.
You know, just start hanging out with them just because by geography and, you know.
Yeah. It's very grown-up, sophisticated.
Yeah, but not really.
Not really.
But no, it's good to talk to your peers anyway. I mean, that's why this podcast is good.
Yeah.
Because I started this because on the way home from gigs, I'd either have someone with me or ring someone on the phone who'd be working that night and just talk about the gig or whatever.
Yeah.
Have a bit of a chat, you know.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And like, that was a fun gig, but it'll be a great, you get great episodes from like horror gigs.
Oh, yeah. Well, we did one in, in Moe, in Newborough.
Yeah.
Where when we got there and the guy's like, this is actually, I go, is this Moe? The guy goes, nah. And the guy goes, it's East Moe. Is it East or West Moe? It's one of them.
Dude.
Yeah. And so me, Nick Kappa, and Tolkien did it. And it was, they love Kappa so much that after I finished headlining, they gave Kappa an encore. Where he did his 69er routine in the war.
Oh, wow.
Where they kind of were like, what? Hang on a minute. So, yeah, we have good, interesting conversations, that's for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And so you were doing a show at the festival?
Yes.
Melbourne Festival?
Yes, I am.
Big eyes.
Big pussy. Big pussy.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Bring your family.
Yeah, bring the kids.
Your kids.
Do you freak out if you see a kid in the crowd or?
Yeah, I do. I mean, they don't.
But what age, you reckon, are you fine with?
I'd say like 15 plus. Yeah.
When you see an 8-year-old, you're like, what the fuck are you thinking?
And they're not going to come to my show because I think you can put a note that it
says not for kids.
15 plus, 16 plus or whatever. But sometimes you are at comedy gigs.
Oh, there's like an 8-year-old. What the fuck?
And I freak out. Or even younger.
Oh, yeah, that's no good, though. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you go to cricket clubs or footy clubs, you got like 6-year-olds running around.
Yeah.
Like, we did one in the country, like, again, me and Nick Kappa, way down Lake Boga, Lake.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, yeah, we don't have babysitters around here.
We just bring them to comedy.
We brought the kids along.
Man. Yeah, I remember one time I did one at a footy club, like, in the middle of the day. Me and Dill were doing it, and the stage was behind the stage was fully like glass windows, huge glass windows, and the footy field was behind us.
That's
it was
terrible.
So bright. It was during the day, and I'm just about to like drop an F-bomb, and this toddler like walks past the stage, and I see like Dill crack up laughing because he knows what I'm about to say, and this toddler's just emerged. But I remember this other gig as well. It was like for beer week, could be beer fest.
A tent. It's in a tent, isn't it?
Actually this time it wasn't in a tent because there was like wet weather thing, so it was like kind of like indoor at a sports club, and it was good. There was a woman changing her baby in the front row.
Fuck hell.
Changing the baby's nappy. that was probably my youngest audience member ever.
But see, I don't mind a baby because I'm like, well, they can't get offended.
Well, baby can't hear. They can't do anything. But it was just the diaper change was a tiny bit distracting for me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, we're going past Little River just up here where I did a gig. And you go, oh, that sounds kind of quaint. That's where Little River Band named their band after.
Yes, yeah.
But it's not quaint. It's like, it was sort of like going to...
Murders?
There's railway tracks, freight trains, and then this pub in the middle of nowhere. And you knew it was like that sort of bit rougher because there was like an 8-year-old standing by the side of the stage the whole set.
Oh.
And I kept going, where is your mum and dad, mate? Yeah. I don't know. Nana's in the bar, though. God.
Yeah, it throws me off big time when I see kids. But also, I wonder why people bring them.
Oh, they just don't think. They just don't think. It's like, I remember doing
stand-up.
The tie-up cricket club or footy club, which is down past Frankston to the left.
Yeah.
And there was the barman brought his 3-year-old who sat on the end of the bar the whole night.
Yeah.
And no one commented about it.
Was he drinking?
Oh, the barman was drinking, yeah.
The kid
had a lemonade.
Yeah.
A little girl.
Yeah.
And then I said, and no one had commented about it.
Yeah.
So I get up and I go, look, I've had a few joints, but is there a pixie sitting on the end of the bar? They're like, yeah, we told him not to bring his kid. And, you know, couldn't get a babysitter, apparently. Usual story. Mm. Where are you doing in the festival?
At the Cooper's Inn.
Oh, that's good. That's a good room.
Yeah.
That's good fun.
Cool.
Cooper's Inn.
Good place.
Lara. We're going past Lara. That's where the prisons are. Yeah. So, yep.
All right. You done a gig there?
No, I've done prisons, but I haven't done Lara.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no, I've done like medium and low security.
So you've done multiple prison gigs?
In the same day. I just did two in the same day. they were good.
Why not? Really?
Yeah. I've talked about it before.
They need a laugh, I guess.
Well, there was no microphone or anything. You just had to stand up the front of like a rec room kind of. And they were just sitting on plastic seats. But there was a definite difference between the low security and the medium security.
Right.
Everyone in medium looked tough.
Right.
Except for the guy with red hair and glasses who I said, do you work in the library? And he's like, yeah, how'd you know? I'm like, man, I've seen the Shawshank Redemption, buddy.
Oh, man. So it was, they actually went well.
Yeah, but I sort of, you don't want to talk about your kids or that's tough too much because a lot of them have kids and they're missing them.
Yeah,
so that guard said that. Don't. Yeah.
You have to think.
The stuff that went really well was the anti-police stuff.
Yeah, great.
So I did one joke and they're like, yeah, the coppers. And then I just went through my head, fuck, what other cop stories have I got?
Yeah.
But I didn't get paid. It's charity. I didn't get paid.
Right.
Charity. Well, they offered to pay you a little bit. I'm like, nah, I'd rather just do it for free. So then Neil Mitchell on 3AW can't hear about it and have a go at me for taking taxpayers' money for entertaining criminals.
Yeah.
But there were no child molesters. They're in a different part of the prison, the guy said. The prisoner's like, we don't fucking put up with them, mate.
Yeah, they hate them.
They're over the fence or something. They kept saying. But
it's so wild when prison gigs are by far not your worst gigs.
Yes.
Done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it was good.
It's good in comparison to...
Yeah, to some bloody gigs you do. What's the worst gig you've done, you reckon?
One of the worst...
Yeah.
This rugby club in Victoria.
Wow.
I didn't even know there was a rugby club in Victoria.
So was it a union or a league? Were they a bit posh? That's union as well, a bit posh.
Oh, look, my rugby knowledge is not great.
No, nor is mine.
I wouldn't say it's posh. But, yeah, we rock up. Behind the stage, the rugby's on. The rugby's playing.
Oh, that's terrible. And they wouldn't turn it off?
No, they did turn it off, but the president gets up there and is like, okay, the comedy will start in 5 minutes and the rugby will be switched off in 2 minutes.
They all boo?
Well, they didn't boo that much, but also it's like, if there's a big rugby game on, why are you scheduling a comedy? Yeah, fucking hell. The tech guy accidentally brought a broken spotlight, so we had no spotlight, so they had to just like leave the club rooms on.
Yeah, so it's
real bright.
How many people were there?
Oh, maybe 70, 60?
Yeah.
There's a huge gap between the stage and the front row.
The comedy moat, yeah.
MC goes all right. The rest of us are just not going well. Headliner was bombing. And I was literally like, fuck, should I pull the car around?
We wanted to get out there as soon as we could.
This is how bad it was. We were walking. We like left as soon as it was over. Walking to the car, this woman comes out and she's like, oh, I just want to apologize. I thought you guys were really great. I'm not even from this rugby club. I just thought, oh, they just weren't into it. And I really liked it. But I just want to say sorry. Anyway, we're like, all right, like, appreciate it. We want to get the fuck out of here as soon as we can. And anyway, then we continue walking to the car and we hear over the loudspeaker, like the PA, the president's inside announcing, the rugby game will now be switched on. And this huge cheer. It's like, yeah. And we're just walking back to the car.
That's horrific. Yeah, my worst one, which I've mentioned it before. It was a Layla football club in the early 90s where I made a joke about Lance Whitnell, who was captain of Carlton at the time.
Yeah.
Fat guy. He came from the Layla Football Club. So his photo was on the wall behind me. I didn't even see it.
Yeah.
And I swear there was hardly any women there. There was one woman cooking to Dim Sims who was his mother.
Oh, no.
So it was like a Western, right? So I wasn't going that well. And so I thought, some guy on the toilet said to me, do some topical footy jokes, mate. And I'm not that into footy, but I know enough. I'd seen Lance Whitnell on the front of the Herald Sun leaving a fat farm, and they, you know, he's still fat. So I start going, what about that Lance Whitnell? Fuck, he's still fat, yeah? And everyone just went really quiet. And she just fucking...
awkward.
She came through the crowd with her tongs at me.
Yep.
Said, don't come to my club and hang shit on my fucking son.
Oof. Where'd you go from there?
Oh, I tried to resurrect it, but I just... and the president gets on and he goes... Because in situations like that, I think, I'd rather not get the money. I'd rather just get the fuck out of here.
No one's having a good time.
Yeah, just cut and run.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, present gauge, round of applause for the comedian. Wasn't very good.
Oh, great.
But fair enough.
Thanks,
and I've
Chris.
Actually met, I met a guy, this guy, who I've done gigs for. This, he like runs a few footy club gigs. Yep. He goes, mate, I was there at the local footy club.
He remembers.
Yeah, he remembers. He goes, it wasn't very good. Because I've since told the story in stand-up.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I was there, mate. It wasn't very good. But especially when I was young, quite young then, it was very intimidating.
Yeah, it is.
But these days, I rarely get intimidated by a gig.
Yeah, that's the shift.
Yeah, it is a shift. Yeah. You're right.
I get quite nervous. A really bad one, like for me personally, that sticks out was just a few years ago, and it's a good gig. It's at the Notting Hill.
I've done the Notting Hill. Yeah, of course. That audience is very meat and potatoes.
Yeah,
that's what Carl Chandler used to run it, would say. They're very meat and potatoes.
Yeah, I think it was when Carl was running it.
Yeah.
And I got up and did a joke, short joke, that I always open with, silence.
Oh, no.
Did a second joke, silence. And then my head, I'm like reeling, like, what do I do next? Because, like, if you get up and it's not going that well, that usually means you do your opening joke and a few people, like, some of the crowd's laughing, but not all of it. But when you get up and there's silence, it's like, hang on.
Oh, it's fucked.
I don't know what to do here.
Oh, man.
And so I kept going and did probably not 10 minutes, but did not really get that many laughs. It was just so bad. Yeah. was bombed so bad. And like, this is how bad it was. I was going to Lucky Cock, this other gig.
Yeah, yeah, which is a bad open mic.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was actually like looking forward to going there to get that bad taste out of my mouth.
Well, that's the thing you got to do. You got to do another gig to get back on the horse.
Went straight to Lucky Cock.
I bet
Lucky
you did well.
Cock made me feel better. That's how bad that first gig was. But then I did Notting Hill, I think it was last year.
Yeah.
Again, like after that, a couple years after that horrible bomb, and it went great.
Oh, that's good. But like, don't you always walk in thinking, fuck, I hope no one's here from that other gig.
Yeah.
Hope no one remembers.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. I remembered. That was enough.
Oh, yeah. Little River, there it is. It's coming right up. It was actually a good gig at the Little River Pub.
Yeah.
So what would you like to do in comedy? I mean, you obviously do a lot of stand-up.
Yes.
What would you...
Bit of everything.
Bit of everything.
We're working on a sketch show with friends for Melbourne Fringe.
Yeah, great. Sketch is great. I love sketch.
Yeah, yeah.
Should be more of it.
Yeah.
I've been watching a bit of Auntie Donna with the kids.
Oh, so good.
That high school show.
So good.
So funny.
Yeah.
That roll call sketch.
Yeah.
But that's obviously where sketch is happening now, because when I started, we all worked on the TV shows. You could get a job writing on sketch shows if you're a young comic and you're into it. Pretty easy to get a job, wasn't that hard? But now there's none of those shows anymore.
Yeah. And my friends who I'm doing this show with, they do cabaret shows.
Oh, yeah,
and, like, really funny cabaret shows. And we were going to work on, like, a web series, filming a web series together. And then I was like, you know what? Filming stuff is so hard and distributing it and getting it seen is so hard. Yeah. Why don't we work on a live show together?
It's a good idea.
And, like, the combo of me, a stand-up, and them, like, cabaret and actors. Like,
it's a good idea.
Really fun. Working on a podcast, of course, because it's mandatory as a comedian.
Is it out, your podcast? Friend.
No, it'll be out in March. It is, some of the episodes will be really funny and some of them will be like quite serious as well, because it's about immigration and culture in Australia.
Oh, fantastic.
Modern Australia, yeah.
Are you doing that for someone or...?
No, I'm doing that with my friend Mel, and
you should sell it to the ABC.
Well, yeah.
Sounds like an ABC, an ABC.
We'll see how it goes.
DiOrio, you're mate, SBS.
I'll get a job, yeah.
Knock on the door. My kid's like, SBS. Could you go on SBS, Dad? I'm like, guys, I'm a white man. I'm not getting on SBS.
You're very
kids,
white.
You're not going to get on SBS, all right? I'm an O'Neill.
We talk about, like, in the first episode, we talk about, like, being Italian and our backgrounds and, immigrant parents and stuff. And then we interview people from all different places who have migrated here or are children of migrants.
Are your parents migrants or the kids of migrants?
Yeah, no, my parents are.
Oh,
yeah,
wow,
yeah,
really?
They both came from Italy, yeah.
What age did they come from Italy?
My dad came at, like, I think he was 13.
Yeah.
And my mum was 19.
Wow.
So my dad was living here, and then he went back, travelled in Europe, met my mum.
In Italy?
Like his hometown, yeah.
Where's that in Italy?
It's in the region of Molise, which is like the least famous region in Italy.
So where in the shoe is... I've been in, I love Italy.
It's mid.
Oh, mid.
Their town is about a couple of hours drive from Rome.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, they met there and then after 3 months got married and then mum moved here to Australia, her family and everything. So she's quite young.
And, were they classic Italian immigrants? Did you have the... Because across the road from us, we had Luigi and... What was the mum's name? Teresa was the daughter who was a bit younger than me.
Yeah.
Luigi and Maria. They had all the classic Italian stuff. They had all the fruit trees in the backyard.
Yep. They had fig tree, lemon tree.
Yeah, they were out workers. So they had that you would sit in the back on the front porch and they'd put the metal bits on the wooden pegs. That's what the mum used to do all day.
Oh.
And the dad would go and work in a factory.
Yeah.
And of course they had the best food. You go over there. Because, my mum, very Aussie, chops and free veg.
Yeah.
Over at Teresa's house.
Yeah.
You want some food there? Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened with them though? They moved back to Italy, to the village, and Teresa, who was like a young woman at this stage, said it was fucked because it was so conservative.
Yeah,
compared to Melbourne.
Yeah, even like I went back in 2016, and it is more conservative than here, especially in the village.
In the regions,
my mum's my parents' town has like 1,500 people living there, so it's like quite small, and yeah, they're really, yeah, real conservative.
Isn't it the best place in the world though, Italy?
It's so good.
It's so good. We went to Naples. Oh, really? It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Because I've been to, yeah, anyway, I've been to Rome a bit, because my brother lives in Switzerland, so I've been to
the north a lot, and Rome. So good.
But I love Naples better.
Yeah. I actually did a gig in Rome.
Oh, really? Where?
Yeah, yeah. There's an English comedy club, and it runs once a month, but only in like the cooler months, so it doesn't run year round. Right. So they don't do stuff in summer. But yeah, it's an English comedy club. And it was fucking great.
Oh, wow.
Because I was so worried about it. I was like,
yeah, I'd be worried about it.
What the hell? Yeah. In Rome. And it was mostly like expats.
Yeah,
like
of course.
From the UK, they don't get the US, jokes. Australia. But also like a lot of people, Italians living in Rome, but who speak English because their English is so good. Yeah. So it was really, really
good. My brother, there's one in Geneva that they do it every couple of months. And my brother's been along. He's like, yeah, you know, they get a lot of English comics. They talk about drinking a lot, you know. Like, it's very, a little bit, I've got to go to the petrol station, a little bit uncouth, you know, for the, do we come off here? No,
really? For the
audience? Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, look, for my brother, maybe, for the
Swiss.
Well,
Italians love drinking and eating.
Yeah.
They actually had a huge spread before the show.
Oh, that's
like,
good.
On the bar, just like all this antipasto and stuff.
It's a difference between Europe and Australia.
Yeah.
We were just so at a pub. Did we get offered food? No, I don't fucking see a packet of chips.
The kitchen was closed when I tried to order something.
Don't you love it?
And this gig, like in Italy, in Rome, I reckon it started probably about 9 o'clock. Like,
yeah, late. Yeah, of course. I know. You go to my brother's house at 7 o'clock, there's nothing on the table. What the? When are we having dinner here? What's going on?
Oh, man.
Italy. Can you speak Italian?
Yeah, look, I speak our parents' dialect fluently.
Yeah.
So proper Italian, I need to stretch myself.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I need a bit of vocab and stuff. But when I was there, I was, you know, doing it over the month and like, you improve when you use it. Yeah.
All right, you're on the debrief. We'll be back. We're just going to go to the servo. I've been sending a message to my wife. I'm going to get some biscuits. All right, we're back on the debrief. We've been to the service station. I got some biscuits for my kids' lunches. Got some Scotch Finger chocolate biscuits.
Oh, yeah, yum. That's so good.
Yeah, I never got that when I was a kid. My mum would make homemade biscuits.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
better, I make biscuits. I make biscuits too, but you run out by the end of the week. Everyone eats them. Everyone snacks on them. Sonia, now, you're very healthy. You got a sandwich? You got a sandwich or something?
I got a spinach and feta an apple, but I also got some biscuits.
Yeah.
Some white chocolate cranberry.
I love a biscuit. Yeah. I love a biscuit. So I ask these questions to everyone. So what went well tonight and why? In your gig or the whole whatever, you know, like what you felt went good for you?
What went well?
Yeah, what material went well, you reckon?
Fuck.
With crowd.
Honestly, like, rude stuff.
Even though
it was an old crowd.
They still love like a bit of rude stuff. Dirty old people. Fuckers. And what didn't go well?
Oh, man. So I open with this joke that I've done a billion times, and it's about someone going to a hairdresser and saying that the hairdresser touched their breast.
Oh, I've heard that. That's funny. Yeah.
I say in the review, they say, he touched my breast.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I've done this joke so many times, but I said, she touched my breast.
Oh,
so I've accidentally said that the hairdresser was female.
Yeah, no, normally it's a he, isn't it?
Yeah, which kind of changes it a bit.
Yeah.
Because it's like, instead of imagining like a creepy dude, it's like, wait, so this woman's touching another woman's breast.
And then you think, well, it's probably an accident. You know, it's different motivation, you know.
So I just don't know what happened in my brain that made that happen.
Yeah, right.
Which is, it's wild. Because like I said, I've done that a million times.
Any organisational hazards get in the way? Was there anything wrong with the room or? It's a long room.
No.
Long room.
I thought it was okay. The stage was a bit high.
Oh, the stage was high, yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, it was kind of long. So you needed it to be high,
but just to step up onto.
Oh, yeah. How do you think I feel? It's hilarious. I get up there I'm the king of the room. You're swearing. And then you go, can you help me off, please, as you get off?
Is there like a little stool?
Oh my God, I need to help.
I'm conscious of that because I know I stepped onto a like kind of high stage like that once and just like totally stacked it.
Oh,
like that was the first thing I did, just like step onto
you
stage.
Fell over.
Boom, straight down.
Oh man.
The audience were like shocked.
Yeah, this is a physical comedian.
And I'm a clumsy person.
Oh man, so you can fall like, off stages too. You gotta be so careful.
Yeah.
Because the adrenaline kicks in and you think, oh, you're invincible.
I do like to get quite close to the audience. So
yeah.
You gotta be careful.
And also the other hazard was, you know, the last question is how can we do better next time?
Mm-hmm.
Keep the kitchen open until so you can get a meal.
Yeah, that's
so
about
it. So you asked for a meal at what time?
I think it was about 8:30.
Yeah, because they went to the break at like 8:30 because I got there at 8:30.
Yeah.
And it was closed.
Yeah.
What?
It was closed in the pub.
What is going on?
Yeah. So we'll have to go.
Keep the kitchen up, open a bit later.
Go for a servo dinner.
Yeah, well, you've got your
Yeah,
your spinach sandwich.
I like how you said, what can we do better next time? That's like totally out of our control.
Out of our hands. But like, you know,
we're not focusing on ourself, improving ourselves.
No.
Just improving the pub.
Improving the pub. Improving the night.
I did panic when I got in there, though, when there were these quite old people, because I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just do this kind of set, regular set, club kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I got in there and it's like quite old people. And I'm like, oh.
Man, have I got any jokes on Midsummer Murders?
Yeah.
Or,
right.
But they were good,
but
though.
But didn't go. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fine.
It was good considering, yeah.
It's good. John Watts did a great job. I know he listens to this podcast and it's... He started running a few gigs and stuff down in Geelong. He's from G-Town. What's the joke is his Facebook page.
Yes.
If you want to book a gig down in the G-Banger in G-Troyt.
Very well-run gig.
Yeah, he loves it. He's good. All right, well, look, go and see Sonia at the Comedy Festival.
Yep.
Sonia Diora.
Bring your kids, bring your grandma.
Kids. Bring everyone. Make sure you get a meal beforehand because there's no food either. At Cooper's. Oh, there is food downstairs, isn't there?
Yeah, there's
food. At some point?
Yeah.
Well, Sonia, thanks for coming on.
Thanks
the
for
debrief.
Having me.
We're going to eat our food now. We don't want to eat on air. That'd be rude. All right, you've been listening to The Debrief. See you again. Bye.